Everyone, I'm Michael McGinnis of the National Academy of Medicine, and it's my great pleasure and privilege to welcome you to the National Academies and the National Academy of Sciences building. Our focus today is on technology that can function seamlessly on behalf of progress in a complicated environment, and that's entirely appropriate. A topic for this meeting in this building, because the National Academy of Sciences was formed in 1863 with its first assignment being the design of a compass that could work inside a steel-hulled vessel. It was done successfully, setting a nice track record for our work here today. Of course, I should mention that the second assignment was to convert this country to the metric system. Still a bit of a work in progress. digital tools can clearly be transformative in their potential for better patient care, for patient safety, for patient empowerment. But the optimal capture of that potential depends on seamless interoperability so that the contribution is one of order and not of chaos. And that's what we're talking about today. Our aim today is to explore how healthcare systems can build the notion of interoperability into their purchasing specifications. Before moving to the agenda, I'd like to thank the members of the Planning Committee. If Claire will give me her agenda. Thank you. Who were also authors of the background paper that will be in a National Academy of Medicine special publication when it is completed. And much of the conversation today will inform the completion of that publication. The meeting planning committee co-chairs are Peter Provenost, Cezanne Palmer, and Mike Johns. Peter then from Hopkins until recently, now with United Healthcare. Susan from Hopkins Applied Physics Laboratory, and Mike Johns from Emory University and the Center for Medical Interoperability. The participants in the planning committee included, and they're listed on the back of your agenda, Meredith Alger from the Center for Medical Interoperability, Raquel Bono, Vice Admiral Bono from the Defense Health Agency, Doug Fridsma from the American Medical Informatics Association, Andy Gettinger from the Office of the National Coordinator for HIT, and we're going to hear later on from Don Rucker, his boss there, John Halamka, Beth Israel, Deaconess System and Harvard Medical School, Bill Johnson from the U.S. Navy, retired at WMJ Associates, Jennifer Lee from the Department of Veterans Affairs. We're also going to, by the way, hear from David Shulkin, who was an early contributor and participant in the paper's development and is now Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. He'll be here a little later on this morning. Wendy Nilsson, the National Science Foundation, Craig Samet from Anthem, and Ram Sriram from the National Institute of Standards and Technology. A really incredible group of people who worked under the careful guidance and skilled management of Claire Wong from the National Academy of Medicine. A note of thanks to all of those folks. Now I'm very pleased to introduce and welcome to the podium Dr. Victor Zhao, who's the president of the National Academy of Medicine. And Victor is fresh off his trip to Davos, and in which he had the opportunity to engage with a number of folks who are key players on the health scene globally as well as nationally. So, Victor, thank you very much for being with us, and please join us.
Thank you, Michael. Well, thank you, and on behalf of the National Academy of Medicine, I'm so pleased to welcome you to the release of this very special publication, Procuring Interoperability, Achieving High Quality Connected and Patient-Centered Care Through Strategic Acquisition. I think those are really powerful words. We all care about those areas, high quality, connected, and patient-centered care. I think what we frequently challenged by is this whole issue of how to connect truly through interoperability, et cetera. I'd like to begin to thank Mike McGuinness for his leadership. I mean, Mike's work has been truly impressive, bringing together this leadership consortium, tackling individual important issues such as this, and being able to assemble the right people, the right strategy to put these things forward. So, Michael, thank you very much for your great work. So, Michael already acknowledged the authors and planning committee, and I too want to thank all of them. This is indeed a very impressive work. I do want to give a shout out to Claire Wong, because I've seen her in action all these months working so hard at this program. And Claire, it must be great to see this coming all together, right? Claire has this unique style of not only have great intellect, knowledge, but also how to get people together, work together to create such a product. So thank you, Claire. Certainly there are staff who need to be thanked, who supported this. Ulrich Fatima, Vivi Fo, and Molly Doy. And of course, importantly, you hear from my predecessor, Harvey Feinberg, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, who actually provided generous support for this very important publication. Now, this publication, I believe, provides a roadmap for health system leaders to assertively pursue interoperability. This should be done across the whole continuum of care through strategic procurement mechanism. I think it's really, really important. As you all know, for this group who is so knowledgeable, interoperability, or the extent by which systems and devices can exchange data, interpret their shared data, is critical to a transformation of health and medicine and development of a learning health system, something that Michael has been preaching and, of course, moving towards through his work leadership consortium. The problem is that it's been difficult. So Michael and I, with my co-chair, Mark McClellan, worked on the vital directions in the National Academy's public education series. You might have seen that, in which we identify connected care as one of the four most important action priorities for progress. And we certainly have been taking this whole vital directions finding to the Hill, to the government, to, of course, the whole healthcare delivery system, and everyone. And of course, we recognize that connected care is the highest priority for action in order to achieve the ultimate goal of optimal care and healthcare for individuals and populations, helping each person reaching their full potential for health and well-being. So I think this special publication is vital in helping us move that agenda forward. So the question, as someone who has previously run the health system at Duke, I've always asked this question, what's the problem here? And of course, you know this well. There's a lack of common view of interoperability across health systems. There's an absence of harmonizing or coordinating body across health system. As a result, the implementation of these standards is subject to interpretation, and there is minimal consistency across technology suppliers and healthcare organizations. And third, the problematic practices of data blocking and data hoarding. All these contribute to, of course, where we are today. Now, this paper proposed an important mechanism, which I know you spent today talking about and hopefully agreeing to move forward as a collective body. It's really trying to achieve interoperability through procurement mechanisms, strategic procurement mechanisms. Now, in other industry, as you well know, They have achieved a high degree of IT interoperability driven by demand from the purchasers of the technology. In healthcare, if you leverage the power of procurement specification, this is certainly an important and yet underutilized approach, which is what I think this special publication is all about. I believe that with better procurement practices that facilitate the acquisition of interoperable digital infrastructure encompassing electronic health record and medical devices, healthcare systems can advance much more rapidly into the healthcare system that we all desire now and for the future. So I certainly believe this special publication represents an important step in achieving interoperability by providing a roadmap for health system leaders to pursue it across the whole system and continue care through strategic procurement mechanisms. And so I'm hopeful that people who present today and health system leaders will use this special publication to guide progress within their own institution and also collectively use their power of procurement as a major leverage and solution to move forward to the next generation of interoperable health IT. So thank you for all being here, and I wish you the best of luck, and I'm absolutely sure that something's going to come out of this that will make a huge difference. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Victor. We really appreciate your being here, and we'd love to have you drop back in anytime throughout the day. I know your schedule is jammed, having this being your first day back. We also want to have a word of welcome from our sponsor, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. As Victor mentioned, Harvey Fineberg, who's the president of the Moore Foundation, was his predecessor as president of the National Academy of Medicine, then the Institute of Medicine. He's represented here, the foundation is represented here by Beth Berselli. Beth, wave your hand, here she is. Beth has been a very important partner and steward of the Moore Foundation's involvement in this activity. And so we're especially grateful to Beth, to Harvey, and to Moore for their farsightedness and partnership in this effort. We have a videotaped welcome from Harvey, and so if we can roll the tape, we'll hear from the president of the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation.
Good morning. I'm Harvey Fineberg, president of the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and it's a great pleasure to offer my greetings on the occasion of this meeting. We're very pleased to be able to help in sponsoring this special project at the National Academy of Medicine concerned with procuring interoperability in health data systems. Without interoperability, there's no hope to optimize the care of patients. It's obvious to say that, and it's proven very difficult to achieve it. This conference offers a strategy, an approach on procurement of interoperability, because the interests in achieving interoperability are among the caregivers and those who are concerned about the care of patients. It's not a natural incentive on the part of vendors to ensure interoperability. Rather, the purchasers have that responsibility and that opportunity. How to do it at all the levels we need interoperability, at the direct patient care level, at institutional internal communication and communication across institutions, all of that is complicated. It requires thinking through the strategies, the elements that will be needed to be put in place, the ways in which institutions that are independent can nevertheless cooperate around achieving the best care for patients. In the end, that's the goal. And I believe that your deliberations through this day can help us approach better care for patients everywhere. Thank you for participating, and thank you all for the privilege of helping to support this important project.
Thank you, Harvey and Beth and the Moore Foundation. It's often at this point in the agenda where we go around the room and with introductions, but in the interest of time, we're going to bypass that dimension of meetings of this sort. And I don't think it'll be a great loss because you all know who's in this room, and it's an extraordinary collection of leaders those who have provided wise counsel to various aspects of this issue. And I would encourage you just to take a few moments in the course of the meeting to look through the list of participants. You'll obviously hear them in the course of the day, rather than to go around with specific introductions, let me just say thank you very much to each and every one of you for being here today and for the contributions that you're making to this important issue. I'd now like to turn to our boss, Dr. Claire Wong. Claire, as Harvey has mentioned, has been a strategically vital aspect of this work. She's a senior advisor to the Leadership Consortium on a Value and Science-Driven Health System that Victor mentioned here in the National Academy of Medicine. She's also a professor at Columbia and a former health policy fellow here at the National Academy of Medicine. And Claire's going to give us an overview of the meeting and our marching orders for the day. So thank you very much, Claire.
Thank you, Michael. Good morning, everyone. So I'm tasked to provide an orientation for the day. So first of all, I just wanted to welcome everyone. It's such a thrilling moment when everyone showed up. Very excited to see everyone. And good morning to those who are live streaming online via Zoom meeting. So I just wanted to add my gratitude to some staff here, Uruj, Vivi, Gwen, and also additional acknowledgement for Marion Hamilton Lopez, who's on her way, and also at Canwell, who are laying the early foundations for the special publication, as well as our external reviewers. Many of you are in this room who have provided us with very critical review of the earlier draft, so thank you. Just to tell you a little bit about the content folder in front of you, on the left-hand side, you will see the agenda, participant list, and their bios. On the right-hand side, you will find background information about the Procuring Interoperability Special Publication, the NAM Leadership Consortium, and our funder of this project, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation. As you know, the full length of the draft publication is included in the electronic transmission to you, the briefing book we shared with you before. So since it's a draft form, please, I just wanted to make sure, please do not cite or distribute in its current form without our permission. So let me overview the agenda. We're going to have a very exciting day. In the morning, we have three stage setting panels. We'll start with a series of presentations on where we are in the landscape of health IT interoperability and how IT procurement could potentially play a role within the marketplace and policy environment at large. You'll then hear from the writing team led by Dr. Pronovost about the draft NAM special publication and their views on the action priorities, followed by the last session in the morning. Hi, Marion. We will have some initial reflections on the concrete progress towards comprehensive interoperability, especially at point of care. At 12:45, you'll pick up a lunchbox outside, but return back to this room to hear from our lunch session on accelerating marketplace contributions to interoperability. In the afternoon, you hear from two panels of health system leaders who are in the seat of driving health IT procurement. So they would talk about which elements of the action priorities from the special publication they resonate and they find actionable, and what they see as key strategies to optimize their IT investment for the people they serve today and tomorrow. After a 40-minute open discussion, the meeting will conclude at 5 p.m. with wine receptions to follow, which I hope everyone can stay for that. A reminder that the meeting is webcasted and recorded, and all the remarks are on the record. Speakers and panelists, Please find this form, the blue form in your packet, and sign it. This is a consent form, and hand to one of our staff in the room before you depart. If you want to speak, please raise your 10 card, make it vertical, and use your microphone when you speak so everyone can hear you, including people on the Zoom live streaming. For those who are participating online, please type your questions for the panelists in the comment box. We will ask on your behalf. A final sort of mention, I'm a public health professor, so we're at a peak of a flu season. So feel free to elbow bump and to offer elbow bump or fist bump. We all love EHRs, but let's try to stay off the EHR. We have an ancillary breakout room for you to take calls. If necessary, that's in NAS room 123. So after the double door, right and left, if you need to step out and take a call. Bathrooms are right across. And I wanted to mention the last thing is the taxi line and location is at 22nd Street entrance. If you are calling Uber or Lyft, use the pickup location on the 22nd Street and C Street intersection. That's the easiest way to get there. All right, so that's all my briefing for the orientation of the day. I'm going to switch back to Michael.
Thank you, Claire. And thanks again for the really wonderful work that you've done throughout the course of this project. Before we move into the first panel, it's my pleasure and privilege to welcome the ninth secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs, David Shulkin. David was an early participant in the project, as mentioned earlier, and has been a visionary leader both previously as the undersecretary there and a member of our leadership consortium, and currently as the nation's leader for the health and welfare of those who have served the nation so valiantly over the many years. David, we're very grateful for your leadership, and we're especially grateful for your being here. And would you mind if I asked you to come up and say a few words?
Well, thank you, Michael, and good morning to everybody. You have a full house. I don't think you could have anybody else join. That's great. And I appreciate you holding this conference for me, because it's coming at a really good time on what we're dealing with at VA, so thank you. I wish I could be here all day. I am going to try to spend as much time as I can this morning, and fortunately my next event is a swearing-in right across the street at the State Department. But today's a busy day in Washington, so you've all picked a good day. Hopefully you'll get out of town before the total craziness begins. Last year, I was being flown out of town on a Marine helicopter as I was the designated survivor. So we'll have to see what happens this year. But this really is an important meeting, and I hope that I'll learn as much as I can, and we have other members of the VA team here to participate, which is really important. Our journey at VA started in electronic medical records, actually in the 1970s. And it started really in an underground movement that our doctors hid from us, from VA administrators, because we would send out the memo saying, cut it out, and they would do all their work at night and hide it from us. And they created really what I think has led to this meeting, because the VA really was the first major system to implement a electronic record and really led a lot of the country's innovations. We just couldn't figure out how to make any money from it the way that the big companies have. But I sort of got thrown into this, and when I first became secretary, I looked back upon the history on interoperability, and there had been public calls from Congress and white papers and blue ribbon panel commissions and all sorts of things for 17 years calling on VA to have interoperability with the Department of Defense, since we know where every single one of our future customers is going to come from. It's, you know, one group, the Department of Defense. And much like VA Ken, we found every way, and Department of Defense shares in this responsibility too, both organizations found every way possible not to create interoperability. We each spent billions of dollars literally over the 17 years and really didn't fully achieve what I think is needed. So one of the first decisions I made was to try to end some of that, and I made a decision that VA would be getting out of the software development business, which is a hard decision after 35 years of innovation, and our clinicians love our system. This is not a reflection on our dissatisfaction with our Vista system. This is really the fact that I don't think government should be in the software development business, and I don't think we're going to achieve the interoperability that we all seek if we stay on that course. So we did make a decision to move over to the Cerner system. And usually, I think those of you who know about government, this is usually a two-year process at the minimum. Because of the way government contracting works, the size of this contract, we made that decision in less than 60 days using a very unusual process called a determination of findings. And we were pretty much on full rapid speed towards contract negotiations when I put a pause on it. And the reason I put a pause on the contract was because of why you're here today. Because I wasn't convinced that if we just went ahead and just completed our contract, that we really would be achieving interoperability in the way that we need to do for veterans and the way that, frankly, the country needs to do. And when we look at interoperability, we're looking at really four phases of it. The first, that our 130 different Vista systems, we don't have a single electronic medical record, we actually have 130 of them, that we achieve interoperability among the VA. The second would be interoperability with the Department of Defense, and if we're not careful, we could pick the same system and still not be interoperable with the Department of Defense. The third would be our interoperability with VA, DoD, and community partners. Now more than one third of our care is delivered by community or private sector partners, so we need to be able to achieve that, and that is a multitude of commercial systems, as you could imagine, among those one-third of community partners. And the fourth then would be really to help be part of driving national interoperability, really what many of you are focused upon. So that's key for us. And we're looking now at how we, as the largest implementation of an electronic medical record in the history of the country, can help drive that, how we can use both our government regulatory abilities working with CMS and others, and you know, I know, is Don here today? There's Don right there sitting across from me. So Don, I'm sure, will talk a lot more about that, but how the federal government agencies can work together from a regulatory type view to help push that, which of course Don's really leading, and how we can use our market forces to work with the vendors to be able to help achieve that as well, looking at the things like the open APIs, the FHIR standards, the bulk data transfers, the prohibitions against identity blocking, and all the things that I'm sure you're gonna be talking about today. So we're very excited. We're right in the midst of it, which is why I was serious that I'm glad that you're holding this conference today, because it's really a great time for us. We want to get this right. We want to be part of the ideas and solutions that all of you are being part of creating today, because we think that this is really absolutely essential that we get this right, not only for VA, but for the country. And we believe that now's the right time to do it. This is the right opportunity for us to achieve that. So I look forward to being here this morning with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Secretary. And for those of us who are in the room, if we had any hint of doubt about the essential nature of this meeting, that's been dispelled by the testament of Secretary Shulkin. So again, thank you very much.